This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It was on April 10th that the Edwards Aquifer Authority declared Stage 3 pumping restrictions for the aquifer. Some surrounding communities have responded with tougher water restrictions like Commerce and Alamo Heights, but not so for customers of San Antonio's water system because of their alternative water sources. Nevertheless, it's only April, and this is going to be a long, hot summer. Are you concerned about water in your life and your lawn? Should the green lawns be a thing of the past? Or are you not worried and you're ready to hit the sprinkler? We want to hear from you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And joining us to talk about watering in a drought and Stage 3 water restrictions and people's attitudes about that, we've got Roland Ruiz. He's the GM, the general manager of the Edwards Aquifer Authority, Patrick Sullivan, the Alamo Heights Director of Public Works, and Greg Flores, the Vice President of Public Affairs at SAWS. Welcome to The Source, all three of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. Great to be here.
Greg, since I only have you for a few minutes, I'm told, I want to start off talking to you. So how are things going with SAWS not going to Stage 3 water restrictions, even though that's been declared by the Edwards Aquifer Authority?
Well, so far this year, we've managed to distribute water to our customers at roughly the same amounts that we did at this time last year. And, of course, last year we were able to avoid Stage 3 throughout the whole year for our customers. So if our customers can continue to be successful in reducing their demand throughout the course of the year and approximate the water use this year as they did, similar to what they used last year, we may be able to avert Stage 3 this year. However, as you mentioned, we are early in the year. It is now starting to get warmer outside. The cooler, wetter temperatures, weather has looks like it's behind us now. So that possibility of having to impose Stage 3 on our customers is still there, and we're watching everything closely in terms of the supplies that we have, the weather patterns, and so forth. So in summary, we think we're using about the same amount of water this year as we were last year, yet we're early on in the year and Stage 3 is still a possibility.
So we're still encouraging folks to conserve water, but the thing is about SAWS, this recent story about how there's so much leakage in the SAWS system, what, 13, 14, maybe 15% of water leaking out of the system. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's not leaks. It's referred to as non-revenue water, so it's water that we don't get paid for, which could be water that's used, for example, to fight fires, or it could be water that's used to flush mains for water quality purposes. Yet that number is high. We need to do better to recover the revenue for all the water that we use, and we're working hard. We're investing about $1 million this year in programs that will help us to ensure that we reduce that number going into the future. And, of course, as the weather gets hot, we have more main breaks. The ground gets dry, and we lose water in main breaks as well. But we have been successful in replacing a lot of meters that were old and not capturing the water that's being used. So now we have more accurate readings at the customer's meter, and that's allowing us to recover that revenue. So we should see that number of non-revenue water actually drop in the future.
But the saying that it's going to be due to flushing the system or putting out fires, that's a lot of water, 13-14% of the water in the system. That really doesn't really account for that huge part of the water being missing, not being billed. And so how much of that do you think is due to leaks in the system?
Well, we've got different ways of looking at what exactly is not captured in terms of revenue, and we try to stay at about 10-12% of that type of a loss, and we've been successful at doing that. One of the things that really impacted our numbers this year was the fact that we have inherited Bear Met as a system that we're now responsible for serving, and their numbers were very high. So we're paying special attention to correcting some of the issues in the infrastructure on the system that we inherited, but that actually drove the total SAWS number up. So we think that there is work to do. We are investing to make sure that that number is dropped lower, and especially in times of drought when we're being so conscious about water being used efficiently.
So earlier, Greg, you mentioned that the San Antonio water system would be there looming in the future, possibly stage three water restrictions for your customers. When do you think that would happen, and what would be the triggers?
Well, you know, there's no telling. At this point, as I say, we are still approximating the water demand that we had last year, and as long as that can continue, then we have a chance of not going into stage three. We're bringing back water at a rate of 40 million gallons a day from our underground storage south of town. So that is helping to meet demand, and we are in full compliance with the EEA's rules, not pumping any more from the Edwards than we're allowed to. But we have the good fortune of having invested and planned and having facilities like the underground storage and other supplies like the Carrizo Aquifer that have allowed us to continue to meet demand without having to go to stage three. Weather, you just can't predict. We could get a big flood in the next couple of weeks. That could change everything. And so we're just going to continue to monitor it day by day and week by week.
And stage three water restrictions would mean what for the consumers of the customers of SAWS?
Well, the biggest difference that our customers would see is that instead of being allowed to water outdoor landscapes and lawns once a week, then we would be looking at only allowing that once every other week. So that would be the biggest difference. There are some other things that come into play in terms of car washes and things like that. But the biggest thing that people will notice is their ability to only water once every other week their lawns and landscapes.
So, and how do you feel that, I mean, the people, do you feel, Greg, that people realize that we're in a tough situation right now, that they have gotten the memo that we are in stage three with the Edwards, even though you're not in SAWS, but we still need to take this very seriously?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we owe a lot to our customers, to them for remaining in compliance with the rules. They are following stage two rules. We encourage them to continue to do that. And I think most people who've lived here a while understand that we go through these semi-arid periods.
But this is tougher. This is not just another normal dry period. This is pretty tough, right?
It is tough. But like I say, folks understand we live in a semi-arid region. They've grown accustomed to long periods without rainfall, and they respond very well to it.
Okay, Greg Flota is Vice President of Public Affairs at San Antonio Water System. Got to let you go. Thanks for calling in as we tackle this this conversation about the drought in San Antonio. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking with Patrick Sullivan, Alamo Heights Director of Public Works, and Roland Reese, GM of the Edwards Aquifer Authority. We want your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Listening to The Source on KSTX, I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about stage three water restrictions in San Antonio and the drought. We welcome your phone calls, your questions, your comments. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can also email us your questions and comments at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page at tpr.org. So right now, you know, the temperatures are continuing to rise and the level at the Aquifer Authority's J17 well continues to drop. We're talking with Roland Ruiz. He is the Edwards Aquifer Authority General Manager. Also, we've got in the studio Patrick Sullivan, the Alamo Heights Director of Public Works. So, Roland, what is the situation now with the level of the aquifer?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we've been this is really the way you look at it. You could look at it as year four of a prolonged drought, and so we're seeing those effects of long, sustained dry periods taking an impact on aquifer conditions. Today, we're probably about 30 feet below the historical average for this time of year in aquifer levels. And so all you have to do is look at surface streams around the region. You look up at Medina Lake, for example, and you see how low those levels are. And they're an indicator of how dry it's been. So I think there's the visual reminders around us about how dry it is and how potentially we could see more impacts if the dry period continues, especially gets warmer. So we are in stage three, and as you said previously before the break in your conversation with Greg, you know, we're only in April. So we went to stage three a year ago, but we didn't do so until almost the end of July. So we're ahead of the curve, if you will, in that regard, and it's a curve we don't want to be ahead of if we don't have to be there. So if there's a good news, if there's a silver lining to it all, is that we, as a region, I believe, are doing a good job. The citizens of South Central Texas are keenly aware of what it means to endure without and get through it. And we have more tools available to us today than certainly we've had ever before, with these critical period reductions, with conservation measures and technology that's available to us now to be more efficient. So I think as difficult as it's been and could potentially continue to be, we certainly are in a better position today, for example, than we were in the 1950s when we endured the drought of record for this part of the region. So it's not ideal situations, and an ideal situation in terms of a drought, but again, we have more tools at our disposal to help us endure and get through it to the other side.
Patrick Sullivan, the Alamo Heights Director of Public Works. So Alamo Heights, you have your own water system. You're not part of SAWS. You're a customer of the Edwards Aquifer Authority. How has Stage 3, the pumping restrictions, impacted you?
Well, we are currently restricting watering to every other week. The times recently have been changed to correspond to those of SAWS from 7 to 11. Just to give people a better opportunity to manage the resource. And so with that, we alternate on the no water weeks.
So Greg Flores was talking about how San Antonio Water System, they have a leak or non-billing amount of water, about 14-15%. What is it over at Alamo Heights?
Last year we were just over 3%. Now there is some loss with age of meters that might be as little as 2 or 3%, and then as soon as you replace and put in a new meter, you get a better reading. But because they're mechanical for the most part, they begin to wear just about as soon as you put them in the ground. So there's a little bit of loss at the meters, but our overall accountability was under 4% and just over 3.
So Alamo Heights Water System, 4% loss. San Antonio Water System, about 14-15% loss. Interesting comparison. Let's go to the phones. Our phone line is 614-8980, 614-8980. And Elizabeth has called in. Let's get Elizabeth on the air. Welcome to The Source. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to take this off the air, but I was told that Selma has no water restrictions. They can water whenever they want, and I wondered why that is, you know, if it is true. And like I said, I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth. So, Roland, any idea what's going on with Selma?
Well, I can't speak definitively to Selma's situation. I know that the way we regulate use of the Edwards is on an annualized basis. For example, we're in stage three, which means a reduction in your authorized amount that you are entitled to withdraw for, and we calculate that over the 12-month period, the calendar year. So if someone, like whether it be SAWS or City of Alamo Heights, when they implement these various restrictions, what they're trying to do is they're trying to manage their water inventory, however much water they have at their disposal. And the key for them is to not overpump their authorized amount, and that permit is issued to them, and it's theirs, and it indicates how much water they can withdraw from the Edwards in a 12-month calendar period. So I can't speak specifically to what any specific city is doing, because our regulatory program doesn't get into the details of, for example, how they implement the cutback or the restriction, just that they do it and they meet that requirement. That's why, for example, you see city of Alamo Heights that has implemented stage three, and UC SAWS that has put it off for a while. It's a matter of each water user managing their resources in a way that they feel they can while still committing to meeting that limit. So generally speaking, you know, SAWS being a larger water user has greater resources at their disposal. Smaller municipalities are likely to have less, and so they're going to be probably follow the restrictions of the EAA on a more real-time basis as we go into stage three, for example, or stage four, whatever the case may be. But again, we really want the user, the end user, whether it be a municipal user like these cities we're talking about, or an irrigator, or an industrial user, to really manage their water, take ownership of that responsibility, and our rules are designed that way, not to be necessarily overly burdensome, but to certainly put the onus on the water user to understand their water use and meet that need.
Okay, back to the phones. Jesse has called in. Jesse, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. You know, Milburgers and some of these other stores are offering via CPS $50 per tree if you plant it. You know, wouldn't it make more sense for SAWS to give people a credit, for zero scaping? I mean, you got some of these homes up there in Sonterra and in Dominion Country Club. You know, they're paying like $1,500, $2,000 a month in water bills, and they barely home because it's, you know, there's just so much lawn, you know, along with these golf courses. I just wonder if you would touch up on that.
Okay, Jesse, thanks for those calls. I know that SAWS does do water rebates for people who do take care, you know, put in zero scaping, and that many of the golf courses are using gray water. It's not it's coming from the output, the effluent or whatever. It's not potable water. So let me ask you, Patrick Sullivan over at Alamo Heights. You know, Alamo Heights, it's a beautiful city. People like to take care of their houses, high property values. Is there tension? Is there struggle there for people to say, I want my lawn to be nice and pretty and green, but these water restrictions are in my way?
People follow the regulations, and they'll implement whatever they need to keep things green and prosper. But there are those that will keep things going within the restrictions, and those that aren't, we have ordinances, and we will give citations for not following those ordinances. But as far as the community, most of them and everyone's on board with the situation, and they're working with it.
Okay. All right. let me get Michael on the air. Michael's called in. Welcome to The Source. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I had two quick questions. First one, is there any information or data that would indicate that San Antonio and the area would have been better off if we would have passed the Applewhite Reservoir Project back in the late 80s, early 90s? I don't remember the time frame. And number two, are there any discussions or any short-term projects being proposed that are surface water projects for the area?
All right, Michael, thanks for those questions. So, Roland, can you help us out there?
Well, I think it's hard to go back in history and look at a project, specifically the Applewhite, and kind of gauge what impact it would have. I think if you look at SAWS Aquifer Storage and Recovery Project, which is basically a reservoir, except that it's underground, I think you probably are doing SAWS is probably doing a better job of extending their Edwards water by storing it there, and they don't have the loss of evaporation, for example, by storing it underground, that you would have, say, in a traditional surface water reservoir. So that ASR project really is a model, I think, of the types of projects that you are likely to see promoted and developed around the state where it's appropriate. Because again, it's a reservoir, but it's underground. And so what you're
so
doing,
they don't have evaporation. They're able to
right.
That's the big problem. A lot of people predict that had Applewhite had been built, it would have been fed by the Medina River. And we've seen what's happening with the Medina Lake. That's the same sort of situation you would have had with the Applewhite right now. We've got some comments from Facebook. One of them says, Scott says, unfortunately, many people are saying wet drought. One Rob says local media, fire officials, city, county, state officials need to do more to get the word out. So Roland, is not enough being happening to remind people that we're in a drought?
Well, I think there's a lot that's being done. It's one of those things where it's always in the eye of the beholder, depending on where you are and where you live within the region. I will say that I believe that in and around San Antonio and really the broader region within the EAA, if you go out west to Uvalde County, for example, where they've been in stage four restrictions now for over a year, and that means 44% less water available to them from the Edwards. Those people know without a doubt that we're in drought. They're really feeling it because there's less water available to them, and they're having to make do with what they have. And if you look to the east, for example, in New Braunfels and Hays County and San Marcos, where those springs that come from the Edwards are at diminished flows as well, there's so many visual reminders and just the hardship that comes with drought that people are really feeling it. And so if someone's not aware of it, I would say that it's largely because they don't want to be aware of it.
So Roland, when would we be going to stage four?
Well, stage four would be a reality for us if the J-17 index well here in Bexar County would continue to decline and drop below 630 feet.
You say we're below 30 feet right now. We're regular place. So how far is that away, real quickly?
We're probably within, a few feet, 5 feet or so. I'd need to look at the number reading, but it could be a matter of weeks if the trend continues, hot and dry and no rain.
All right. That's a sobering news indeed, finding out that we could be only weeks away from stage four water restrictions. I want to thank Roland Reese, General Manager for the Edwards Aquifer Authority, Patrick Sullivan, Alamo Heights Director of Public Works, before we had Greg Flores, Vice President of Public Affairs of SAWS. This is The Source on KSTX, and we'll be back after this NPR news break.